Today on Real Radio.
God is advancing your life. You are growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus, and the enemy wants to take that back. And though he cannot rob you of your salvation, he'll do everything possible to sterilize you so you are not effective.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his verse-by-verse series through the Old Testament book of 1 Samuel. We're in a mini-series taken from chapter 17, which tells of that famous story of the Philistine giant, Goliath of Gath, who was confronted and ultimately defeated by young David, who used, well, shall we say, unconventional ammunition, not one of the larger weapons available to him. Of course, there are some valuable insights for the believer in this section of Scripture, so let's get into it. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now to bring us more from chapter 16 of 1 Samuel. It's a series called Winning the Battles of Life.
In verses 1 to 7, we learned last time that the Christian is involved in an invisible war. And we see the typology that is laid out before us as David comes up against Goliath. And as God had been preparing David's life, so the Lord has been preparing your life and my life to be engaged in spiritual battle. And we mentioned that last time, and I could see on some faces how uncomfortable it was for some people to entertain the thought that we are involved in a spiritual battle. Then I went on to say that it's possible, highly probable, if not certain, that in this room right now in the spirit realm are angels. We talked about how there could be an angel sitting right here in the pulpit, looking around at you, because we dwell, as it were, between two worlds. There's the host of God and the angelic soldiers of God's heaven, and then there's the demonic forces of Satan, and they battle. And we learn from the book of Daniel that there is warfare in the atmosphere, in the spiritual realm. And as we began to talk about that, I saw some of you kind of wanting to whistle and hum and kind of entertain yourself like, this can't be real. No, that kind of scares me. No way. But it's true. The Christian is involved in a spiritual and invisible war. And we talked about three things that we learned about, and that was that it's all about territories. God is advancing your life. You are growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus, and the enemy wants to take that back. And though he cannot rob you of your salvation, he'll do everything possible to sterilize you so you are not effective. It's all about territories. That's why you and I as Christians struggle with the old sins of our past life, because Satan, the world, the flesh, does not want to lose that ground. And we talked about that. We also learned that it's about defending what God has given to us. God gives it. God has given us the victory, like he gave Israel the land, but there's a war to be fought. There's a battle to contend over and for and with against an enemy. And you and I are in that warfare, and it is about defending what God has given us. And it's a fight. We also learn that it's about something bigger than us. When Goliath is to stand there and be in all of his giant state, we realize quickly, as David will apparently, in the sight of the human eye, look absolutely hopeless and helpless to the natural eye. We are no contender for the spiritual world without Jesus Christ and without the Holy Spirit. We will lose. I see people like you do on certain television programs, or maybe you came from a certain hyper, perhaps Pentecostal background, and you'll see or hear people saying, I rebuke you, Satan. I rebuke you, Satan. Nowhere do you see that in the Bible, by the way. In fact, when Michael the archangel was fighting and warring against Satan himself, Michael didn't say, I rebuke you, Satan. I think that's how Michael, he doesn't sound like us, but you know. He didn't say it either. He said, the Lord rebukes you, Satan. Listen, Christian, contending in spiritual warfare, don't walk up there and say, I rebuke you. Better to win the argument and say, the Lord rebukes you. The battle belongs to who? The Lord. Then we saw in verses 3 and 4 that in this war, there's nothing fair. Did you know that? The enemy does not sleep. He's always up. He's always planning and scheming. And thus we are in a forever spiritual battle. There is nothing fair in the war that Satan wages. And we learned that the enemy is closer than you think. And we talked about the geographical location of the Valley of Elah and those two hills of which Israel was encamped on one hillside and Goliath and the Philistine army on the other side. And we talked about how many of us has visited that site. And you can talk one to another from hilltop to hilltop. And between that valley is the Valley of Elah. It's a very condensed area. It's pretty small. Telling us that the enemy against our soul is often much closer than we think. Thus, we need the power of God in our lives. We so often get into the realm of thinking that the things that are going on around us just must be, you know, going bad because of bad luck. Did you know there's no such thing as luck in the Christian's life? Well, gee, I wonder why that happened. It could be that the spiritual battle's closer than you think. We need to wake up to the reality that we are Christians, we are filled with the Holy Spirit, we are advancing the kingdom of God by the Spirit of God, and that's going to go noticed by the enemy. I love it tonight. Did anybody drive by the property on the way into church this evening? Anyone? Did you see that crane on the property? It's huge. They had to deliver it with multiple semis and assembled it on the site. It's huge. I was told it's over 300-ton crane. Huge. Where the guy sits in the cockpit for the crane, it's in the second story. Go by there. It's huge. I want to play on it. Now, I don't know about you, but when I turned down from Peyton Drive onto Eucalyptus, I was still about a mile away from the church, and I could see the crane. And it was on the other side of the freeway. And as I approached, I looked at it, and the thought came into my mind is, because I'm thinking about the message tonight, boy, is that going to attract attention. And I wonder, I mean, I don't want to get wiggy about it, but you just wonder, you know. Lord, keep that crane safe. When they lift those walls, Lord, keep them, you know, in one place. God, be there. Protect. People have been driving down the freeway. They're, you know, not everybody's for the project. And you just wonder what's going on, you know. People have been attacking the signs that are on there. You see the signs that are on there? Prayer changes things and some irate person nagged and nagged about America needs Jesus, and so the city asked us to take it down. We thought we'd be nice to the city and take it down. They wanted it up as much as we did, but you know what? It's okay. This sign shows up now. Prayer changes things. And on the back side, it says, thank you, Jesus. I love it. Well, you know what? You know why the crane's there right now? It's just to draw attention to the sign that's below it. Prayer changes things. And whoever was complaining has got to drive still on the freeway every day to work. And they look at that and they go, oh, no. Could it be that prayer is changing that property? Where'd that crane come from? Prayer changes things. Whoever those people are that are complaining, we need to just love them. If we just knew who they were, we just need to love them. And they just need to wake up to the fact that our God reigns, you know. And the dirt that we're building on, it's his. It's always been his, even though we had to buy it from somebody. It's his dirt. The enemy is closer than we think, but God is mighty. We learned also that the enemy will come out after us. Goliath will come out and taunt us and attack us. And we learned that the enemy is more ruthless as a foe than we ever imagined. And then we learned also in our third point that the enemy has resources that we don't apparently have on the visible level. We're not very tall. Goliath stood and 9 feet, 6 inches tall to 10 feet tall is the estimation of his height. We know about his brothers and the other sons of Anak that were massive people. Beds have been found in archaeological discoveries. Beds have been found dating back to ancient times BC of 14 and a half foot long beds. Spears weighing 135 pounds, and they were used, by the way. They can tell by archaeological evidence that these spears didn't hang in some palace as an ornate thing. They were huge, and they were used in war. We showed you a picture of Shaquille O'Neal, who's a little 7 foot, 1 incher, compared to Goliath. A massive man. We are not very tall, but our God sits in heaven. We learned that we can't even see sometimes our protection. We learned also that the enemy looks better equipped than we do, as the Philistines had metal and they had factories almost, as it were, to produce for them weaponry. And sometimes we feel overwhelmed. And we learned also that the enemy has a great army. Well, tonight we come to the second part of this series of this message entitled, Tonight, Entering the Battle. Verses 8 through 11, and it says, Then Goliath stood and cried out to the armies of Israel and said to them, Why have you come out to line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine? And you, the servants of Saul, choose a man for yourselves and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. And when Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. The first thing we learn tonight is this in verse 8, that we must enter into the battle because there's a war raging. There's a war raging. We are Christians and people, I think you know by now, that if you just look at the world around us, the war is not only raging in the spiritual sense. Jesus taught us that, light versus darkness. There's evil increasing. But also, you see the things manifesting in the physical realm regarding war and things. We see how the United States is now embattled in a war that has really no borders. It's the United States of America against a religious ideology. Isn't that weird? Our enemy has no flag. He's got no generals. Our enemy's got no tanks. They're, as it were, almost invisible, you know? And what a strange time we live in. But there is a battle raging. And from time to time, perhaps things manifest themselves in the spiritual, from the spiritual realm to the physical realm, much more than we think. And we need to be sensitive and alert to his appearance. Look at verse 8. It says, Then Goliath stood. I have that marked in my Bible. That's a big thing when Goliath stands. Goliath stood and he cried out to the armies of Israel and said to them, Do you hear the threatening that's in that? Do you hear it? When Goliath stood, what did it look like when he stood up? What did it sound like? He was covered in armor. Remember, we learned last time that he's covered in brass. And he stands up, and you hear the clanking and all. And this guy keeps going up. And he stands there. And he cries out. If standing there wasn't enough, he cries out. I think many times in our lives, the situations that appear to be Goliath, listen, when they stand up, they're so big, they're so huge, we get overwhelmed by them, and then they cry out to us. The very situations of our life, crying out to us. And we're right in the middle of these things, and they're challenging us. Just moments before I came into the sanctuary, while worship was going on, Lisa just told me that a friend of ours, just in her middle to late 40s, went to sleep, and she never woke up. She died in her sleep. She's got young children, husband, wonderful Christian family. She went to bed. She never woke up. Situations of life and what that family's coping with tonight. Even though they love the Lord, they're going to be waking up morning after morning with that feeling. Have you ever been there when something cataclysmic has happened in your life and you wake up and the first thought in your mind is, I was dreaming. It's not real. Remember that? Do you know that? Maybe you're going through that. The situation is so big that it's Goliath. And then if that wasn't enough, it shouts at you. The appearance of the enemy in our lives is gigantic. Alan Redpath, in his commentary on this portion of Scripture, says, "I have no other word but to describe this giant as magnificent." He was altogether awesome, and there was nothing like him in the world. So many times the things of our life, they're insurmountable. We look at them and we go, how can we beat this? How can we overcome this? And we've learned by now, haven't we, that the things of life, they are impossible without God? Don't you think God has engineered it that way? He's done that. We look at it and we go, God, it's too big. And he goes, yes, it is. It sure is. So God, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Is there a mouse in my pocket, God might say? You mean, what am I going to do on your behalf? This is what I'm going to do. Yes, we enter the battle, but the war has already been won. Keep that in mind. The Christian doesn't come out of his corner hoping that when the rounds are completed, that we'll be victorious. The enemy's already been judged. He comes out swinging. But the Bible reminds us that Satan is like a lion, roaming around, seeking whom he may devour. The great thing is for the Christian, that lion has no teeth. He comes up there and he roars and he growls and then he pulls back his lips, I guess. Lions have lips, I guess. And there's nothing there but gums. But it's the roaring that we freak out over. It's a giant and it's roaring at us. And it could be a big bill or financial problem and it's roaring at us. Or it could be maybe a ministry that you're venturing out into and you're scared to death. In this case, it is an enemy of faith. A man who is uncircumcised, filthy, a Philistine, wicked, and notorious. And not only that, he's got brothers. There was more than one giant running around. That's why David grabbed 5 stones, by the way. Goliath had 4 other brothers, and their names are in Scripture. David's a pretty smart boy, huh? Just in case the other boy showed up, he grabbed 5 stones. That's faith. That's cool. More on that. But that's like 3 weeks away, though. We can't even talk about that yet. It's amazing, though, when the situation is so big and it's so loud, it stands up and it speaks to us. And what does it speak? Well, the things that Goliath will speak. Things like accusations, lies. You know, the enemy will lie. You know that? The enemy loves lies. Misrepresentations, that's a good one. Propaganda, we would call it. Misinformation. Wrong, just a little bit. Maybe that would be where we would file false doctrine. Just a little bit off. The enemy loves that. Flattery. Now, Goliath's not going to flatter anybody in our story, but how many people have fallen to flattery? Doesn't the book of Proverbs warn us against flattery? Oh, Did you hear what she said about me? Oh, stop it. She says that about everybody. Oh, did you hear what he said? He said I'm the best worker in the company. He says that about everybody. Or watch out, you know, be careful. Flattery. By it, many people have been deceived. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 13 to 15 says, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ." And no wonder Paul is talking about false representation of spiritual matters in the church. He says, no wonder these people show up. For Satan himself can transform himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing that his ministers can also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. Isn't that amazing? Satan sees to it that he infiltrates the pulpit, Christian service, churches. He doesn't care about the people that are in paganism or the occult. He cares about you. He wants to attack you. Goliath and his army. They're not attacking other pagan armies. They're after God's people. And he's so angry that he comes out and he knows who he's fighting. He says, I'm defying the armies of Israel and I'm defying their God. He knows what he's doing. This man, demonically energized, I'm sure. Joshua chapter 9, verse 3 tells us, however, when the people of Gibeon heard that Joshua had done to Jericho and Ai, they resorted to disguise, deceit. And they went as a delegation, whose donkeys were loaded down with worn-out sacks and old wineskins, cracked and mended. And the men, they put on worn-out patches on their sandals and on their feet and worn-out clothes. And all the bread of their food supply was dry and moldy. Then they went to Joshua in the camp of Gilgal and said to Joshua and the men of Israel, we have come from a distant country to make a treaty of peace with us. Please. And they were just the group right over the other side of the hill. Deception. And by the way, we love Joshua. He's a great warrior. But he looked at all of the trappings of the external appearance and he said, oh, okay, you guys must be cool. And they signed a treaty. Joshua and Israel was deceived. The enemy will try to deceive us in the context of our study by thinking he can whip us. That he can take down our God, like it was with Nimrod. He climbed that heap of rubble at the Tower of Babel, and he got up to the top and he took his arrow, Nimrod, the great hunter of souls, and he drew back his arrow, and his intent was to shoot God out of the sky. Haters of God. Satan, his sidekicks, and sin will always dress up in their best apparel. You know that? That's why the Bible warns us over and over again to be careful in the things that we're strong in. Oh, I'm so strong in this area, I'll never fall in this area. And that's the area you'll fall. Because the enemy will come to you and he'll attack the Christian with a disguise. It could be anything that is easily weaved into my life or your life because we are not suspecting. I hear about, as you do, the tremendous work on our borders to try to keep out terrorists that are coming in up from Mexico, the Mexican border crossings. There's a guy that they arrested recently. FBI arrested a man, an American, who has been smuggling Saudi Arabian terrorists across the border from Mexico for money. Now, I am not going to get into what they should do to that man. But when I graduated from junior high school, we had learned by that time that that's treason.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called Winning the Battles of Life. Winning the Battles of Life is actually a multi-part mini-series taken from our journey through 1 Samuel. Of course, chapter 17 is the famous account of young David slaying the Philistine giant Goliath of Gath. And we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, this series, Winning the Battles of Life, is available for you in a 5-CD set. You know, Scripture is full of military and battle references, both metaphorical and literal. Why? Well, because quite honestly, if you're a true believer, you are in a war. That's the truth, whether you want to be or not. Here's the good news. Our chief commander-in-chief is in control. And of course, he, and only he, is the Most High God. These are the topics Pastor Jack addresses in his series called Winning the Battles of Life. Now here's our offer. For your gift to the broadcast outreach of Real Radio of any amount, we'll send you Pastor Jack's 5-CD set, Winning the Battles of Life. Now whether you call, click, or write, mention it by name, Winning the Battles of Life, and we'll get it right out to you. Visit us at our new reallifewithjackhibbs.org website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and then click on Special Offer, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Our telephone number, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Or for the mere cost of a stamp, send your tax-deductible gift to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And of course, all of our contact info can be found at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.